It is a privilege to be here with you this morning. Thank you, Sean, for leading us in worship. It's wonderful to worship in this house. There's something special here. I know that as we heard, that God is even in the ocean. God is everywhere, but he loves sanctuaries. He loves places that are dedicated where his presence is honored, and I love being in this house. I'd say home, but home is there, but this feels like home. This is our home away from home, so thank you for receiving us, and yes, thank you for praying for my father. Kelly came up and basically saved his life, and God was in charge of the fact that my father's still here today. So. And what I want to share with you this morning is about making disciples. But what I'm going to try to do is we do want to brag on what the Lord is doing in El Salvador, and I want to do that, but I want to do it in a way that doesn't make it feel like you can't do the same thing. George Mueller was a man of faith, but he always pushed back when people said you have the gift of faith. He said, don't say that, because if you say I have the gift of faith, then you're off the hook. Said, what I am doing is just appropriating the word of God. So what we're doing, I'm gonna take a little bit of the mask away. We're gonna show you some pictures, but we're also gonna tell you what it's like behind the scene. And Pastor Paul did allude to the fact that there are some dirty tasks that come along with discipleship. But I want to encourage you, because we have a real clear mandate to make disciples. This is not in the notes, but there's a passage in Luke chapter 18, and I was up in the middle of the night last night in this. Passage came to me, and I just want to use that as a point for prayers before we get into the word this morning. Luke 18, it's a parable about a persistent widow, a lady who wouldn't give the judge a break. She wouldn't stop. And Jesus said, I told him, and he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. It means basically don't stop. This is a parable about perseverance. And at the end, verse 7, it says, and will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? That's us. Saying, if the unjust judge would do it, won't God do it? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. And then it like completely changes topics, it seems. But it says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith in the earth? We've been pressed. And I'm going to share about some of our global family that have been pressed much more than us. This is actually, I'm comfortable today. And right now we're having a church service. We don't have air conditioning. We do have fans, but we have a complaining neighbor, so we actually close the doors. So I'm usually sweating pretty good before we finish the worship time. So this is nice, okay? Just so you know, this is a nice sanctuary. Those chairs are really comfortable. This place is clean. It smells good. It's a comfortable temperature. There are places where it's not like that. But these areas of pressing, and this is what I learned from our global family, which I've been able to rub shoulders with national leaders from different nations, and I'm going to share a little bit about that with you. But in this period of time that we're living, there's a pressing. And Jesus was sharing this parable so that we would not lose heart. And then faith, and Pastor Ainsley, who's much better with Greek, would be able to help with this. This word faith is pistis. It's actually a noun. But we often talked about faith being active, but you can combine it with a pronoun and it becomes more of a verb. So faith is a substance, it's a thing. That's what he's talking about. Will he find faith? But faith is, there's a of faith or through faith. So that what we're going to talk about today, I'm going to share with you verses that you probably have memorized. But I want us to read them and listen to them through faith. Through eyes of faith. That's what I want to pass on to you. And I'm going to be real transparent with you this morning, because there's times when if Jesus would have returned at that moment, he wouldn't have found faith in my life. But he's continuing to restore me through our global family, through seeing challenges that are happening and seeing our brothers and sisters around the world who in the middle of pressure. And I don't even think it's, and this kind of came to me during worship, I don't even think it's in spite of. Like, well, COVID happened, but in spite of that, no, I think because of that. Because I will tell you something, and I even studied this in my master's degree. The church grows through persecution. We don't have to go out and ask for it. But I would say embrace it. Our brothers and sisters that go through challenges, they have learned to embrace it, and they have faith through it. And you see this faith just expand. And when I rub shoulders with these guys, I say, I should quit complaining. My complaints are so petty. But I just go around them and they're like, I want that faith. And that's what I want to share with you this morning, to step out in faith and go through the pressing. So we're going to read the scriptures, we're going to go through it, and my prayer is that we're going to come out on the other end of this message this morning with more faith. Amen. Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that these passages that are common, that we've seen, that we've known, Lord, I pray that this morning that you will stir up faith in us. Lord, we're living in times. We're living in the end of times. We're living in a time that you've selected us to live in, to minister in, to make disciples in, Lord. A time and a period in history unlike any other period in history in all of humanity. And Lord, I pray that we would not lose sight of that. That we would not stay too busy, too occupied, too preoccupied to see the great and incredible opportunity that's been given to us to make disciples up until the point when Jesus comes. And I want to say even prophetically over this group, when Jesus returns, if it has to do with Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach, he will find faith in the earth. We're making that the direction of our heart. Bless your word this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. I think I have a few slides to share. The message is you are called to make disciples. There's different ways you can read this. It could just be a statement. You are called to make disciples. It could be a biblical statement, because when we read Ephesians 4, oftentimes we say, well, the pastors make disciples. And then you read it and say, no, the pastors, the apostles, the prophets, they're to equip the saints to make disciples. But I'm going to have it more like Uncle Sam with that old World War I poster, and he says, I want you for the U.S. Army. So I am using this more as an imperative. You are called to make disciples. It's not a suggestion. So now we need to figure out how to do that. I think we have a couple pictures, and if you can help me, I don't have down what they were. Okay, here's our baptism. That's me. I wanted them to crop it a little bit more so that my legs wouldn't be showing there. But this is the swimming pool at our house that the team that came a couple years ago helped us to get ready. That's Giovanni, one of our leaders. This is a Dominican guy, Jose, getting baptized. His wife is our children's leader there. Next slide. We've got Pastor Gilberto. This man in the white shirt is a man of faith. Listen to that guy preach, and he's like, either I want that guy on my team. he's an intimidating character, but they're planning multitudes of churches. So I was there, my new supervisor, who took Paulo Trimba's position, Aaron Hunter on the left. This was in a promotion for pastors that they had. That was the next slide is putting a church on a building. That is one of the hottest four-square churches in all of El Salvador. So we were able to put a new church building on and actually working to possibly bring water to this entire community. So that's still a work in process. So be praying for that. Next one. You know these guys. This was at our house. We got to go up the volcano, got to hang out with them for a little bit in our home. Zach took the team up. And next one, I think that might be it. Oh, any surfers. Now, we had the first time the world contest, the WSL was in El Salvador, and I got to go down. The waves were lousy that day, by the way. But the final, Felipe got second to Griffin in the last couple seconds, but I had to leave to Colombia. So this is 4 a.m. in the San Salvador airport, and I walked past these guys with Pastor Josue, and I said, Josue, hold on a second. I got to get a picture for my boys. So we've got Felipe, who's number one in the world right now. We've got Gabriel, the ex-world champion. He was half asleep. He woke up to take that picture. And then Italo, who never sleeps. This guy's like always on Red Bull. So he was the gold medalist in the Olympics, so I had to show that to you guys. So we got a few Brazilians, a few world champions there in El Salvador. I think that's all the pictures. Maybe? Any more? Okay, I think that's it. All right, point number one, into the word. Very common passage. You've heard it many times. We're going to read it again. We're going to read it with eyes of faith. Matthew chapter 28. And if you ask, what is Hope Chapel's vision? Hope Chapel San Salvador, Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. There's a mission statement. There's a vision statement. But any church that goes away from this really isn't on the right mission. This is our general. This is our call. Go, Jesus said. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And I think you had baptisms last week. We did too. That was awesome. We're celebrating together. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. To qualify this, remember, you are called to do this. This isn't just your pastor's job. This isn't just the professional's jobs. This is your job to complete this. So it says, go make disciples. It doesn't just say evangelize. Make disciples. This is very key. As the Global Foursquare Church, we are working different national leaders. I was in Colombia with 140 leaders from all the Americas, from Guatemala down to Chile. And we are working on this, the fact that we are not making disciples in the way that we need to be making disciples. We're talking about a culture of discipleship. So it's not just evangelizing. Most of Latin America has been evangelized. We need to be discipling them. You may go out on the street and tell somebody about Jesus. Now, the U.S. isn't as evangelized as it used to be, perhaps in the generation when my parents were growing up. But they've heard the name of Jesus. So part of what we're doing is we got to get the name of Jesus where the name of Jesus, people literally cannot hear the name of Jesus spoken. We need to get there. But in the areas we live, we need to work on making disciples. Teaching them to obey. What is making disciples? Teaching them to obey. Yes. My wife is a disciple maker. She has two of her key disciples sitting next to her. She is teaching them to obey through the word of God. It's not just obey what your boss says in the military. It's teaching them along the lines of the word of God. That's what making disciples is. That by default, that means that you need to be a disciple in order to make disciples, which means that you need to be learning to obey. You need to be being discipled. I am being discipled. I sat with Pastor Paul and shared just all the burden that was on my heart at convention. He's my pastor. I don't get to sit under his teaching as often as I used to, but he still is discipling me. I have people discipling me so that I can disciple others. And Jesus said, I am with you. Don't run past that. I am with you. Mark chapter 16, we have another version which adds a few other details of the Great Commission. And he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Just in case you were thinking we only disciple and don't preach. We preach as well. We evangelize as well. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. You have to believe. And like we talked about, faith is not just a verbal consent. It is a heartfelt, I'm going to follow Jesus. And these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. First of all, baptize is leading people into true conversion. Okay, I'm not going to get into the waters of explaining baptism. I did that last Sunday in our church. But baptizing, we are baptized into Christ. When we believe in him, he has sealed us. It's a done deal. And then we are water baptized to demonstrate that to the world. And then I used a sponge when we were talking about it. The sponge was in the water, but the water wasn't in the sponge. Okay, so we need to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit so that he permeates us as well. But I want to ask you as well, when it talks about deliverance, okay, speaking in new languages, and I want to say we are a Foursquare church, we're a Pentecostal church, we believe in speaking in a spiritual language, but I would say also I speak in Spanish, which isn't my native language. Some of the older generation, may not speak the younger lingo, so you may need to ask for a tutoring session with Zach so that he can help you out to speak another tongue. So this isn't just speaking in tongues, it's also learning to listen and learning to exchange, and if you live back next to a Vietnamese family, maybe learn a few greetings in Vietnamese. What it means is that we need to allow the Holy Spirit to give us the ability to speak to people that don't look and sound like us and maybe from a different generation than us. So this is very, very complex. And I want to ask you, when it talks about delivering, when it talks about laying your hands on the sick and seeing them healed, is there any evidence that if it became illegal to be a Christian and they said, we need to find out who the Christians are, and they read this list and they said they will speak with new tongues, pick up serpents, not that there's necessarily any snakes here, but you'd have this divine protection over your life, you'd heal the sick, would you have enough evidence to condemn you of being a Christian? I hope that there is evidence. They used to do that in the early church. They would say, why don't you come with us? You want to be part of the church? Okay, we're going to go pray for Matilda. And we'll see how it works out. And they got healed. Okay, you're a believer. You can join the fellowship now. That'd be tough. I mean, think about that. Ushers at the front, okay, we've got the sick here. You can't come in until you heal the sick. Interesting. Something to think about. But you should have evidence in your life. The other thing is I'm not in favor of those cults that touch snakes and drink poison and all that. I don't think that's wise. But I would say, are you living your life with even a little bit of risk? Like, do you actually need the Lord's protection in the way that you're fulfilling the Great Commission? I'm not telling you to do stupid things, but I'm saying maybe risk a little bit. It was a risk to go to El Salvador. We're fine. We've been sick. We've had a few stomach bugs. We've had other things that have happened. The Lord's protected us. But we actually took a step to where we needed his divine protection. I would encourage you, live a life that you actually need the Lord to cover your life. Don't live it safe. I mean, that fear keeps us from stepping out. And I'm not saying be stupid. Again, but we need to push it a little bit. Push it a little bit and live so that we're actually experiencing it. And there's a great joy when the Lord delivers you. It's a lot of fun when you see the Lord come through. So we know that. Mark 16, again, another part of the Great Commission. Acts 1:8. We love this one as Pentecostal brothers. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. I remember Jim Scott, our ex-missions director, he said, there's the Great Commission, go, but then there's the mandate from Acts, wait, go, but wait. Get ready to go, but don't go until you've been filled with the Holy Spirit. I would say, get filled with the Holy Spirit and move. But the other thing is, as you're going, you see the Holy Spirit fill you. How many of you have been like, oh, I can't share my faith the first time you talked about Jesus? If you don't like doing that, hang out with my brother-in-law, Jay. He's got no problem introducing Jesus to whoever. But the first time you do it, and then all of a sudden, I remember in Brazil, the first time I evangelized, hey, le toca a ti. It was my time to share the evangelistic message. And I felt a sensation I never felt before. Like I had a message prepared, but then all of a sudden, boom, there it was. There's a great joy. That's the Holy Spirit saying, yes, son, yes, daughter, share about my son. And that's what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's part of the Great Commission. And it says from Judea, Samaria. So that's Huntington Beach. That's your Jerusalem. Maybe go out into the state of California. How many of you think California needs to have a little bit more of Jesus spoken? Okay. And then beyond that, you have the greater U.S., and then you can go all the way around the world and back again. So this is all at the same time. It's not like as soon as you got Jerusalem saved, then go to Judea. No, it's all at the same time. We're doing, and this is a church that does that. They're reaching Huntington Beach. They're reaching into California. They're reaching across borders. So this is a church that does that. And we need to be about that as well. You may not be called to cross a border right now, but you can pray and you can give and you can invest. And I would say even start to pray for those areas. Go to Joshua Project. Start to pray for people groups that have no means to hear the name of Jesus. Find one group. There's about 1,000 just in India. Pray for a group. You can do that. Let the nations begin to permeate your heart. This is what the Great Commission's about. Now, in making disciples, I have a passage that I want to read because this is our theme for today. I just wanted to put the groundwork down that we are called to make disciples. All y'all are called to make disciples. 1 Corinthians 4. Now, what does it mean? What does it look like to make disciples? 1 Corinthians 4:15. For though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers, Paul's writing. For I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. I urge you then, be imitators of me. That is why I sent you, Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach them everywhere in every church. What does it mean to make disciples? I use the example of my sons. Obviously, our first start is making disciples in our own home. But what's it mean to be a father? It means that sometimes to make a disciple, it might mess your life up a little bit. It might affect your comfort. It might affect your finances. It might affect your vacation plans. My brother-in-law, again, he took his family to Haiti for Christmas once, because that's where he's called to make disciples. It affected the family. You can ask Amy if she enjoyed the experience. But that's, for me, that's an example of, you know what, I'm not just talking about making disciples in the church program. Like, yeah, I've done OSL. I've done the discipleship program in the church. No, it affects my life. I came to convention very burdened with a lot of challenges that had happened at our church. I sat by the pool with my pastor. He was a father. He listened to me. He prayed for me as I poured out my heart to him. That's what making disciples is. That's what making disciples is. Now, this is going to affect your life. You may get called at the middle of the night. Your plans may change. Now, I'm not saying you let people run all over you. Please, no. But making disciples, Paul said, this has affected my life. You're part of me. I've sent Timothy to you. I can't just abandon you. Like, Paul was in prison, and he's still praying for communicating with these churches. And when we talked about discipleship, we were like sitting with leaders that are over thousands of churches in Medellin, and we had this young man, Brazilian Tassio. I think there's a picture of him. Tassio was there, and he started to share about how they're intentionally making disciples. He says, we just do one-on-one, and we grew to three-on-three, and then five-on-five, and you're thinking, well, that's great if you've got a cool little home church. Their church, I don't know, it was in, I think around 5,000 members their church has, and they've still found a way to make disciples. But he started to push back a little bit, because when we have a large church, you need programs, you need systems, you need a children's program, you need discipleship classes. All of that is important. All of that's good, but real discipleship happens. And he said, discipleship's not just from the pulpit, it's from the table. And there's a few principles that he had. I want to share a couple of them with you. Number one, I think it was called number two because I didn't share them all, but it's not control, but appeal to the disciple to listen to and obey Jesus. If you don't feel like you can make a disciple, can you sit with somebody and say, what's the Lord telling you? Well, let's figure that out. A good discipler actually talks less than they listen. That's what discipleship is. He also shared with us, it's not a program, although programs are helpful, but rather a lifestyle. Again, I can teach a class. I've gotten pretty good at teaching classes both in Spanish and English. But if they get to know my life and my life doesn't line up with it, there's going to be a disconnect there. So you actually need to walk it out too. Now, I'm not saying you got to have your life all together before you can make disciples, but I'm saying it's really good that you're on the path towards getting your life together and following Jesus so that others can see your example and follow Jesus. Another principle I thought was important is that the disciple must feel safe in the relationship. Vulnerability and freedom are fundamental for the process. I have that with Pastor Paul. I shared our time at the pool, but he probably hasn't shared that with any of you because it was something very private. It was something significant. We need to learn in this day and age where everybody's taking pictures and sending messages and tweeting and that you know what? There's actually a lot of things that I'm doing right now that I can't share publicly. I'm not doing FBI, CIA things, but I'm just saying there's a lot of relationships and challenges that I'm brought into that I don't put on my newsletters anymore. I've gotten a lot busier, but my newsletters have less information now. So that's the type of person you need to be, a person of integrity, a person who can carry a burden with somebody, but also you don't own it for them. So this is what discipleship is. I want to encourage you. Do you have a relationship already like that? Then maybe you invest into that. Maybe you go a little deeper and you take that step. And we don't want to be arrogant, like, I want to disciple you. But maybe somebody wants to be discipled by you and you can ask them. You can say, you know what, I'd like to spend more time with you. I see you're a young mom and you're struggling with your kids. Can we hang out every once in a while? And can I just share a little bit of what I've learned? Can we pray together? Can we talk about what Jesus is doing in your life? That's what making disciples is. And you all need to be doing that. This is how the church multiplies. So that's what making disciples is. Okay, now we've given the nice, pretty snapshot. You've seen the pictures of our ministry and how wonderful everything's going. I wanted to open up the lid a little bit with the time that we have left and look at the painful reality of making disciples. 2 Timothy 4. We always use Paul as a wonderful example because he wrote so prolifically about his ministry. But I'm going to read this whole passage and just kind of listen to Paul sharing this. A lot of times we think the scriptures are all theological and there's all of the scripture is inspired. So even when he's calling somebody out, that's inspired by the Holy Spirit. There's something that we can learn there. 2 Timothy 4, 9. I'm going to read through the end of this section. Do your best to come to me soon. Paul needed people. For Demas, in love with this present world. How would you like to be in the Bible, but that's what comes after your name? Has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia. Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me, probably because Paul was sick. That was the doctor. Get Mark and bring him with me, for he is very useful to me for ministry. And if you remember, Paul sent Mark away before. So Paul's had a change of heart. He's like, okay, I can keep discipling this guy. I see there's been a change. Barnabas raised this guy up again. Okay, we'll give him another shot. Verse 12, Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas. Paul's cold. Also the books, and above all, the parchments. He's cold, but he wants his scriptures. Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. I don't want to be that guy. Beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message. At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. They let Paul down, but he prays immediately. But Lord, be gracious with them. How many of us can be let down? Like, we've got people there helping us when it's going okay, but then all of a sudden when you really need them, boom, they're gone. And then come back and say, but Lord, you were with me, and forgive them. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. Paul said, as long as I'm discipling, that's what's important. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth, a literal or a figurative lion's mouth, I don't know, but it's pretty severe. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Next time you feel like you're going through a challenge, read that passage. And you know what? I had living examples of that. I sat in meetings with our national leaders. And if you've met Nigerians and Ugandans, they're very straightforward. They talk slow and methodically, but men and women of faith. And Nigeria has more than 50% of the martyrs right now are in Nigeria. It's not illegal to be a believer there. It's just, it's very dangerous. And the Nigerian leader got up and gave his report about all that the Lord is doing through the Foursquare Church in Nigeria. And I looked at the man and I thought, I know he's seen people not just die, but people killed for their faith. And he's still standing there. And me? What am I complaining about? In the Congo, there's been difficulty, there's been strife, and they're talking about how they're discipling children, and children are discipling children. And in Brazil, a challenging country as well, they planted in one state in Brazil, the Foursquare Church planted over 300, they planted more than one church a day for a year, over 370 churches in one area. In another state, they planted 200 churches, and the average pastor's age was between 20 and 22. God is doing things. I don't want to pray for challenges in the U.S., which we already have, but Lord, wake us up. Like I hear my brothers talk about that. Jerry Stott has said in Indonesia, one of the largest Muslim nations on the planet, he said when everything closed down, it was like, boom, it was closed down, cannot go outside. And these few churches that they have, where he'd said, I buried several of my good friends, pastors, that year. He said, when they were closed in, their Muslim brothers started knocking on the door and asking them and saying, we just want, can whatever you're doing, you're singing, you seem happy, can we join you? And they saw more salvations in 2020 when everything was shut down than any other time. So it's not in spite of challenges, it's because of challenges. So we need to get that frame of view that we see these obstacles as opportunities that the Lord can press through. But we have to have, like that widow, we cannot give up. We need to continue to press through. And I want to be kind of honest here about some challenges that I went through, and this is how we're going to close the message. I'm just going to share a little bit of a process that I was walking through earlier this year. I want to show the picture of the baptism, if that's up there again. And right on the left, I won't share about all the family challenges we've had with another, but we did bury his mother-in-law, and then they had another cousin who died right after that. So the family went through a lot of challenges, so that's part of what brought us to this point. But on the left, we have a young man whose dad had, for challenges, had to leave the church and then came back to the church. We walked through a lot of stuff there. And on this day of the baptism, our worship leader got invited to be part of another church where they were offering him a position. So he took that. So I've been leading worship. So we had a new worship team that Sunday. I'm just describing this Sunday to you because that's a wonderful picture. Wow, they're doing baptisms. It's sunny. It's beautiful. Well, just to give you a perspective of what making disciples looks like, we've gone through some challenges with this family. But just that morning, I get the new worship team there. I'm trying to work the sound out. My son Benjamin's not at the house, so I've got to figure out how to get the live stream going. I'm doing all of this stuff, and then we have to go pick up the people from the community. We get back. I just got my truck back because it was in the shop, so I'm able to pick them up. I get back, and then we're in our house, and we try and put the dogs up in our bedroom and lock them in there, and they make noise. So I go up. I get the team together. We pray. We prepare for the service. I'm going to go upstairs real quick, check on the dogs. We have a puppy. He's a 50-pound puppy. He's done his business on the floor. So 5 minutes before the service, I'm cleaning up the dog's business, trying to get it, and then closing the door. The dog's still barking. And then two of our three children's workers didn't show up on time. So I'm actually up there. Well, I'm not leading worship this morning, so I'll sit with the kids, which I actually enjoyed. And then we went through all that, and then after it, we got to do baptisms. What I'm sharing with you is, in times like that, I have these things that go through my head. Oh, Jared, if you could just be like Pastor Paul, his office is so tidy. My office, I try to clean my office, and it's a mess. And I'm like, nobody listens to you. Like, they don't show up on time. You've got your dog barking. Like, I have all these things going through my head that I'm saying, like, I really shouldn't be doing this job. But right before we came to convention in May, we had this leader who left and then he came back. That happened 1 week. We were able to really open up some new ministry opportunities to a guy that's like my right-hand man. He was working for a government job, but that was kind of shaky, and he was working through that. And then he was actually helping out with another church, and he prayed, and he's like, yeah, I think I can do this. Like a week later, a couple days before I left a convention, he came back and said, I asked him to pray. I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast for a day, and whatever the Lord directs you to do, well, bless that. I thought he'd stay with us. But he left, and this is the guy like fills all of the gaps when I'm gone. Boom, he's gone. The owner said, we're going to sell the house. And I'm like, my wife's gone. She's going to be gone for two, three months. I can't move. So I've got all these things going on. We can't get the church to move ahead. People seem like they're dropping like flies, but I talked to our Nigerian brothers, only a couple. But I just came with that, and this is what was going on in my head. You need to pass that church off. Like, they need a real pastor. There's other people that can do what you're doing. You're not qualified to be doing this in the region. I'm just going through all this stuff's in my head. Like, somebody could be doing this better than you. And I had that. And then I went to convention. My pastor prayed with me. I listened to my brothers that are really going through it around the world. And I felt like the Lord was telling me, stop complaining. But I still had doubts. So at that point, I'm like, okay, I can get through it. And how many of you are like that? I'll just press through. I'm not going to give up just because it's hard. I'll press through. But I still felt like there were some things but Lord, I ain't doing this unless you're giving me a green light. I'm not moving ahead. I know what it's like to do this in my own strength. So if I got to press through and I got to take some lickings, I'll keep going. But I am not going to live through going through these challenges, and I'm the problem. Until the point, even if you want to get rid of me, please do it. So that your church continues. That's the place that I was in. And I went to Colombia, and I shared this with some of our Colombian brothers, and they basically opened the door. I'm going to be back there in a couple weeks. They said, anything you need, we'll send people to you. You come learn from us. We'll pray for you. Like, I had these doors open. And then the last night, and this is what I'm going to share with you. The last night, a lady who I actually paid to get there because she wasn't able to afford it, a wonderful pastor, the national leader of Costa Rica, his daughter Pamela, she said she was leading worship, and at the end, she got up and she said, the first night I came, the Lord gave me a vision during worship, and I saw somebody on their knees, and they were ready to give up, but I saw Jesus come alongside of them. And she said, and this is the scripture I want to share with you, Romans 5. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace. Grace, the empowerment, in which we stand and we rejoice in hope of glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And then she began to sing. It's a song in Spanish, an old song in Spanish, so I translated it, but I want you to hear the words from this song by Danny Berrios. He says, oh, praise him. Simply praise him. Are you crying? Praise him. In the middle of the trial, praise him. Are you suffering? Praise him. It doesn't matter. Praise him. He will hear your praise. And then the pre-chorus starts to build. God goes ahead, opening the way, breaking chains, pulling out thorns. He sends his angels to fight alongside you. He opens doors that no one can close. He works on behalf of those who trust him. He walks day and night with you. Raise your hands. Your victory has come. Begin to sing and praise God. And then the chorus is just praise God. Alaba a Dios. I want to ask if you could stand with me this morning. I was praying before this service that as I went through this challenge where I had a lot of excuses of why I needed to maybe step back from making disciples, or maybe I was off cue and the Lord said, no, keep going. But there was something even more, because the lies I was hearing were actually spiritual in nature. They were demonic in nature. Not that I was demon-possessed, no. But the enemy was lying in my ear over a period of months, and I started to believe him. So I needed a spiritual word from the Holy Spirit so that I could break that off. And I don't know if anyone has lies that they're entertaining right now, but we are going to break those off. Because it is not just the qualified. It is not just those that are talented. It's not just the guapos. It's not just the handsome ones that are going to be used to make disciples. It's all of us. That means that this applies to you. So if you have been listening to me and you feel like I can't do that, that is a lie. The Lord wants you to be engaged, engaged in his church, engaged in making disciples. Matthew 24:14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. And my question again is Luke 18:8. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith in the earth? I want you to say with me, he will find faith in me. I will be making disciples. And Lord, we cast down those lies. We cast them off in the name of Jesus. We are called. We are qualified. We are empowered, Lord. I pray, Lord God, even illnesses, even fear, Lord God, these areas that are holding people back. Maybe you're still listening from your home because you don't know if you want to re-engage. Today is the day that you need to come out. You need to press in. You need to engage. There's something percolating in your heart that you haven't engaged in, but you are going to step into that. And as we do that, the Lord is going to break off those lies. But you know how he does it? Just as they walked around Jericho, he said, don't open your mouth. I've seen you guys confess the lies. I don't want you to say anything until I say shout, and then you're going to praise me. And that's how the walls are going to fall down. So as you even prophetically with me this morning, would you just engage, pray, ask the Lord to break that off, but then we're going to praise him. And through our praise, he will be lifted up. Through our praise, he will empower us. Through our praise, he will bring that healing, that deliverance that we need. Thank you, Jesus. You sing with me, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise. Want to sing in Spanish, alaba a Dios. 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 You this morning. Lord, you are breaking chains off of us, Lord. You are giving deliverance. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Paul said, for I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Guys, it's how you finish the race. It's not even how you begin. It's not how the middle of the race goes. You finish the race. So if you've been stumbling, that's okay. Finish well. Finish the race. Amen.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.